Well, hello, darlings. Happy Friday. Happy day of Venus, the 22nd of March, as I am recording this. And we are just a few days away from the very first eclipse of the year. So it's been a big week. Hello, astrological new year, as the sun ingressed into 00 Aries, which is that starting point, which is the beginning degree of the entire 360 degree zodiac wheel. So happy Aries season and happy astrological new year. This is a great new space and template to anchor in, you know, a brand new start. And we have a few, you know, we ultimately have a few. And January is, of course, the Gregorian new year, but I see it more as the numerological new year. So we move into that new energy, which was 8 this year. Then we have the Chinese new year, the solar and the lunar new year, which are both very important. And then we have the astrological new year, and then we have the Mayan new year as well, which happens in July. Some really significant turning points. And so it's been a big week. I have been recovering from a fall where I did a grade 1 MCL. So I'm just in my room, cordoned off from everything. I've got copper. I've got Atlantean copper tools all over my knee. I'm wearing a brace when I need to just to support that lateral movement. But, you know, welcome to the motherfucking new year, Tiana. You are laying on your ass. And what you're going to do is slay some inner monsters and some inner dragons while you just lay there and you literally can't move and you need to elevate your leg and it hurts to walk and you can't walk and you're hobbling and so on and so forth, darlings. I am okay. I really am, you know, slaying some monsters. And you know, I think that it's really interesting witnessing and watching, oh, Aries season. And I'm just like, yeah, but Mars rules Aries, right? So this is why following and understanding the interdynamic alchemy of astrology is super important, because to be honest, there's not too many people that I know or see or I'm talking to or anything that are going, yay, fire, warrior, Aries, because Mars is finishing his journey in Aquarius, which is great. You know, I love Mars in Aquarius. It's a really great place for Mars to be. But he's just about to move into Pisces. So on the 23rd, which is tomorrow, Saturday the 23rd, Mars is in Pisces, and Mars doesn't really want to be in Pisces. And Mars is this, you know, the ruler of Aries, of course. And what is that? That is initiation and action and forward movement and anger and war and passion and courage and swords out. You know, like, this is Martian terrain. However, if you're not really feeling that, that intuition is right, okay? Because not every Aries season is the same. And I, you know, often see all the white noise over social media, and, you know, even astrologers going, yay, it's Aries season. And I just comment going, but Mars is about to be in Pisces for all of Aries season. And it's like, we need to pay attention to the rulers of these seasons. And that's why not every year is the same. Not every Aries season is the same. Not every Taurus season, because we're being ruled by the undercurrent and underpinned by the theme of what the ruling planet is doing. So yeah, you know, I want to say, hey, enjoy the 3 days whilst Mars is in Aquarius, because at least that's quite a, you know, innovative, dynamic, intellectual sign where maybe you're thinking a lot about stuff, thinking about the future, thinking about what you want to put into action. And even, you know, I've said this, I think, quite a few times on my podcast this year, there's a lot of incubation going on. There's a lot of behind the scenes work going on. There's a lot of energetic karmic debris being flushed out. And, you know, even if you're firing and things are happening, there's still effort being put into that. And of course, we're in this collective 8 years. So there is also these rewards, this relinquishing old things, not just to be reckoned to, but to be rewarded. You know, these rewards of success and finances and spiritual wealth, you know, the inner gold that you are mining at the moment. And it might not be success financially, it might be success from a real space of inner peace and inner harmony and changing your priorities, looking at your values. I mean, look, with this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction coming up, I mean, we're really digging deep into our own inner resources around our value systems. What is really, really important? And you're going to find a lot of people not tolerating or moving away from a lot of old things that they're either conditioned to, that they usually just accept, that they just go, oh, well, you know, where they're feeling oppressed and not liberated. Jupiter and Uranus coming together is a breakthrough. It's an innovative breakthrough that, yes, is peaking in April, but like I've probably shared here, there, everywhere, but, you know, there's still these ripple effects. And so this is also building. So our values are really going through a time, you know, we're really looking at the future. Hello, Mars, who rules Aries. You know, the Sun ingressed into Aries at 0 degrees on the 20th and made an immediate trine to the Moon in Leo, which this is really dynamic, okay? But Pluto's involved here. So there's a lot of power and undercurrent psyche stuff that's also bubbling up. Now, the Sun making this beautiful sextile to Pluto in the new astrological year setup. I mean, this is what we look at. We look at the astrological ingress of the year ahead. As the Sun moved to 00 Aries, we can look at that. We can look at that chart and really depict sort of what's coming up for the year, some of the overriding themes. There's a lot of ninth house stuff, which is around, you know, opinions, beliefs, truths, philosophy, you know, the future, sort of white noise, gurus looking outside of the self, you know, and really maybe moving into this coming back within, coming inside for your own personal quest, which is like a forging forward of a life quest, of course. So, you know, just even that dynamic of the Sun ingressing, making this immediate trine to the Moon. This is, you know, this is beautiful. This is hopeful and optimism and the Sun and the Moon working in fire energy together in transformation, but also in flow where we can balance our heart and our head, where we can, you know, merge our emotions and our ego so that they're not combative, so that they're not fighting. But you know, it's been a big week as the Sun ingresses into Aries and we begin the new turn of the zodiac wheel. We're in equinox as well, so we're in this beautiful portal at the moment. This is nature sharing with us that this is a new season. A new season has begun, and for us down under, we're moving into autumn, the darkness. You know, as the days get shorter, you know, and the nights get longer. And this is when Persephone goes back into the underworld for us. So this is this time of, you know, soul harvesting, you know, going deep within and becoming the queen of our, you know, becoming our own queen of our own underworld. And interestingly enough for us here down under, Venus is also going to go into the underworld, where she meets the Sun in her superior conjunction in winter as well. So there's this real sense of slowing down, this real sense of decay and shedding and release and relinquishing old things, peeling back the layers, finding stillness. So it's been, you know, a big month. And what equinoxes and solstices, big month. Yes, it's been a big month. It's been a big week. What equinoxes and solstices also invite is change. You know, they're showing, hey, where do you need to change? Where will this new season take you? Yeah. So what is this new season of yourself? Like, this is a cycle. And if you've got my 2024 energy survival kit, you know, I shared all day on the 20th, everyone was doing their readings, their equinox spreads. You know, I curated a spread for each of the equinoxes and solstices, and I really encourage people to do it. And the placements are really beautiful. What I came up with, that they work really gorgeously for these signature cycles that the Earth, you know, transitions, which she transitions us with as well. And I always recommend using the same oracle deck for those. You know, you might use a different oracle deck for, you know, ultimately there's a few readings that I sort of do over the year. So I do my Gregorian year calendar overview, which is, you know, something that I offered externally for years and years. I would do people's oracle spreads for them. I've moved a little bit away from that now because I focus more on the pre-recorded readings for the year, but where it is just the 12-month spread. So it's literally January through December. And again, you're really highlighting the numerology essence there. And we work from January to December, and that's okay. You know, you don't have to feel guilty about that. It doesn't have to be a certain way. Like, this is a numerology cycle. The Gregorian calendar year really hones in on that numerology energy. And month by month, we pull our card and we have an energy and a theme. And let me tell you, I've been doing these myself for over 20 years and still mind blowing when I reflect back. But then there's also an astro year spread that you can do. I've curated my own one, which I share with my group. Then there's Mercury retrograde spreads, which again, I have curated, and I've popped those in my 2024 energy survival kit as well. So it's also not too late to go and purchase the digital copy. If you're like, oh my God, I want to see these spreads and I want to work with them, it is not too late. You can just see it on, once you buy the digital copy, just have it on your computer and you can just have your own personal journal. Don't feel like you have to print it out, because it is 200 pages and it can be quite expensive. Hence the reason, you know, I have a printing company that I work with. And so, you know, get onto that, get on, you know, get ready for the pre-sale. You know, you want to be ready for that pre-sale when I'm going to launch my kit, my hard copy, because then you don't have to, well, then you won't miss out, darlings, to start with. But then you don't have to try and print it yourself. I mean, for some people, they've got, you know, they've got space to do that. But for other people, they don't. And it is expensive. And I get it printed on quality paper. It turns out really beautiful. And you can use it as a workbook. But the thing is that it's not too late just to download that baby, have it in your, you know, have it downloaded to your computer. Go through it like it's a ebook. You know, that's purely what it is. It's literally just an ebook. And go in and jump straight in. I mean, we're only in the first part of the year, so there's still so much. And I curated these solstice and equinox spreads to help you look at your cycle ahead. And that is why I suggest to use the same oracle deck, yeah? Because then you're going to get this real feel, and it's just got that same thread and that same energy. And then I did the Mercury retrograde spreads as well. And we're about to come up into a Mercury retrograde. So again, this is the perfect time to go and download that bad boy. You know, go and download her, get her up there, and you can pull your equinox spread to see what's coming up for you for the next cycle and for this next quarter until winter solstice, and then also that Mercury retrograde spread. So, you know, it's nice to have these signature points within your own year just to tune into, just to tap into, yeah? And so this week has been, and right now as I'm recording this, we're still sort of in this portal, this gateway, this equinox gate, where we're finding a new timeline, yeah? We're finding a new timeline. So I wanted to jump on here somewhat briefly. I mean, I haven't really worked all week, so I've got to try and, you know, talk my way through this. I've taken all the notes and I'm just moving about because I'm trying to get comfortable with my leg, and I just need a little drink because I just ate popcorn. And popcorn makes your mouth dry. Yeah, so like I said, Mars is moving into, so this week, my main prepping thing is we move in to the eclipse chasm, the eclipse wormhole. So we are in eclipse season because the lunation prior to the first eclipse sort of kicks off that eclipse season. And then once we have this first eclipse, which is on the 25th of March, which is in Libra, it's a full moon lunar eclipse with the Earth blocking the sun and the moon. They're completely aligned and the Earth is in between them. Okay, so it's that perfect alignment. And this has got to do with the nodal axis. That's why our nodes at the moment are in Aries and Libra, and we're having these Aries and Libra eclipses, yeah? And so, yeah, this eclipse that's building and kicks off on Monday the 25th, which is also the day that's ruled by the moon. So, you know, it's going to be extra amplified. really opens then that sort of that portal, that wormhole, sort of just like, ah, it's like a black hole, you know, it's like, ah, we're going to be sort of in this space, this maybe chaos, new beginnings, endings, unpredictability. You know, I relate eclipses very much to the planet Uranus. It's something that, you know, I, you know, felt for years and years. And I think that Uranus energy is unpredictable. It's sort of, you think you're going left and then you're going right. It's like, you think you're going up and then you're going down. It's just, it is, it can be chaotic, but it can be revealing and it can be super liberating at the same time. It's, again, yes, expect the unexpected. And like one of my astrology teachers, Cassie, said, she goes, eclipse portals and eclipse seasons are like exclamation points. And I was like, yeah, I really love that, because it is. It's sort of an exclamation point. Like, maybe there's a door that needs to be closed, that it's sort of a change or be change sort of energy. It's like, are you going to initiate change, or, you know, or is something just going to be changed for you, which often brings uncomfortability, you know? And that's why eclipses can be depicted as, you know, unstable. And they can, the energies get to be, you know, the energies are quite erratic. You know, we're dealing with karma, we're dealing with the nodes, we're dealing with fate. And if you know evolutionary astrology, I mean, it's all really siphoned through Pluto, but also through the nodes. So there is something, you know, always very dharmic and karmic around eclipses. It's not a time to be trying to, you know, channel the energy, control the energy, ritualize the energy. It itself is the ritual. You know, it itself is, it will channel through you. It will guide you as to what you need to do. So they are big portals. And so pretty much from one eclipse to the next eclipse is sort of that eclipse sandwich, you know. So we've got the full moon lunar eclipse on the 25th, and then we've got the solar eclipse, which is a new moon in Aries, coming up on the 9th of April. So that's our 2-week portal, our 2-week window. So switch on, darlings, switch on. I mean, I drove for the first time because I hurt my right knee. I drove for the first time today, and even then I was just like, wow, people are not switched on, or they're on their phones, or they're doing whatever. It's wild. And I'm just like, hey, like, wake the fuck up, because, you know, eclipses heighten energy. They amplify energy. It's like a new moon on steroids, a full moon on steroids. We've got to remember that. This isn't just a typical normal full moon or new moon. You know, it is. It's amplified. It's activated. It's illuminated on a whole different scale. So you want to be really just switched on. You know, it's just about awareness. Remember what I say, nothing to fear and everything to watch. You know, I feel like if people have fear with astrology, there's something underlying within them that they know needs to change, or that they know something needs to happen, because that's why they're fearing it. Because they're like, oh, what if that comes up for me? Then I'm going to have to do something about that, or then I'm going to have to make that decision. And I think I shared this in the Chiron North Node conversation with my beautiful friend Katie, which is obviously on my YouTube channel for free. You know, because there's a lot of relationship stuff that is this year. I mean, this year is a full-blown relationship year. And yeah, there's some really big stuff happening. I mean, obviously the eclipses are in the axis of Aries, you know, me, Libra, we, you know, it's self and other. That is the axis. And to be honest, I think it's one of the most powerful axes in the entire, pretty much the cardinal axis is the most powerful axis. And you know, there's many reasons for that. One of the reasons, of course, is that it begins each season. It's the initiator of a new season. Cardinal signs are the beginning of summer, autumn, winter, and spring. Yeah, so it's the 0-degree point of each new season. So that cardinal axis is really powerful. The Aries Libra is the me and we. It's all things to do with relationships. And then the Cancer Capricorn is like the mother father archetype, you know, the family, home, and then the work and career. So again, there are four areas in our lives that are anchors. So it's a very strong quality, the cardinal axis. Yeah, so this Aries Libra, me and we, it's relationship ish. And so I think I sort of shared in the Chiron North Node, because again, the Chiron North Node conjunction happened in Aries, right? We're about to have Mercury retrograde happening in Aries. Oh, what else are we having in Aries? Oh, the total solar eclipse. You know, like that Aries house, if you haven't checked out my latest post on Instagram and Facebook, you know, that Aries house is getting fucking burned down. And so I was sharing back in that Chiron North Node video around, you know, yes, it's going to be a relationship theme and people get scared like, oh, you know, am I in the right relationship or whatever. And I think if you're solid and secure, you often don't question things. Like there's no questioning. You're not scared of something because really with astrology, there is nothing to fear. These are cycles and they reveal things to us. And it's only if things are being hidden or if you're suppressing things, because remember, the planets do not do anything to you. Yeah, they might reveal what's already there that maybe you've been lying to yourself about or maybe you've been running away from. And where it happens on your own chart in the micro is so much more important than, you know, again, being caught up in the white noise, the macro. Oh, yeah, it's Aries season. Let's all have energy. It's like, yeah, take a look around, motherfuckers. Read the room. you know, you've got everyone saying it's Aries season and the energy of everyone isn't saying that it's Aries season. Okay, so again, it's like read the room and look at your own chart and you can get that sense of what's going to happen for you. Yeah, so there is a lot of relationship stuff happening. Nothing to fear, everything to watch. It is important to just, because there is no fear around eclipses. Sometimes an eclipse, you know, won't even really, you know, it of course is going to activate a set of houses in your chart. So it will activate the opposing. So for me, it's my first and my seventh house because I'm a Libra rising. So again, it's that self and others that's being really activated. But if I had no planets in any of them or whatever, like it doesn't always mean that it's catastrophic. You know, eclipses are great turning points. Eclipses are opportunities to be where we need to be. And again, it's change or be changed. If you're aware of this, you know, and I always tell this story around eclipses. I was settled into working at the crystal shop that I worked at for 10 years. You know, I worked once a week and a bit more here and there, but you know, I've always been a mum, especially when my kids were younger. That was something that we chose and I prioritized my children. So I would work on a Saturday and that's sort of it. And you know, I was all set and I'm like, right, I'm going to sort of like tap more into my business and do more things for, you know, what I want to do. I think I wanted to write my book and all this sort of stuff. This is a long time ago. It was eclipse season. And all of a sudden I get a phone call and, you know, it's the crystal shop that I've worked at for, you know, a decade saying, you know, we've moved, we've renovated, we don't have space to take you back on this year. And I was like, holy fuck. Okay. And so it was like all of a sudden, like the tectonic plates of my plan, the eclipse changed. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I actually was like, I need to work for myself. Like, I don't need to work for someone else. Like, it was one of the most beautiful gifts. So what we are gifted in eclipse season is for our best. It's for our future. And that's why we don't fuck with eclipses. That's why we have full reverence for them. That's why we don't channel their energies or curate rituals and all these sorts of things. There's no need to do that. There's no need to manipulate the energy, which itself deserves reverence and respect. Yeah. So whilst we are in the eclipse portal, I just want to say, just be mindful, just pay attention, just be switched on. A lot of synchronistic moments happen. A lot of stuff lands. There again can be big endings, big beginnings. There can be exclamation marks. There can be, this is stopping, this is starting. It could, you know, and this first full moon eclipse that we're having on Monday, the 25th, it is a south node eclipse. So this is actually a real karmic clearing around maybe old relationship patterns, old relationship stories, you know, the victim, this happens to me, you know, the martyr. You know, we're moving away from that Libra energy and we are channeling the Aries North Node. And then, of course, in 2 weeks, we will have that solar eclipse in Aries, yeah, which happens to be exactly conjunct Chiron. So they're real sensitive points. And so that 2 weeks in between, it's a waning moon. So we're kicking off with this full moon, which means for that full 2 weeks, it is letting go. The south node really is activated like tenfold. It's like the purge. It's like let go. It's like the, you know, the waning, surrendering, clearing out, really facing the shadows and facing the old karmic stories that maybe you have labeled yourself with. And I don't know about you, but stuff's already coming up for me, you know? And again, I've got the South Node in my first house because I'm a Libra rising. So this is a whole lot of old identities dying. The graveyards of the self. Once the things that we are so comfortable with or we can talk ourselves in or out of, they're being dismantled, darlings, you know? And yes, on all levels, whether it's the first house that this solar eclipse will be happening in, this lunar eclipse will be happening in, whatever house it is, wherever 5 degrees of Libra is, or whatever your Libra house is in general, there's a storyline happening here. And that storyline is, what are you letting go of? That storyline is, this old karmic template is being dismantled for you to move towards the Dharma of the North Node in Aries. Okay, we will not have these accesses again for 18 more years. Just think about that. Think about where you will be in 18 years. Yeah, you'll be 18 years older, you know. Will you be alive? You know, I know that's morbid, but we don't know. Things are changing dramatically. Like literally in 18 years, Pluto is going to be in the last part of his Aquarius journey. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, isn't that interesting, right? So we're going to have covered the 2 decades of Pluto in Aquarius the next time the nodes are exactly where they are, okay? So what are you clearing out? What are you tidying up? This is a big invitation. So this full moon eclipse at 5 degrees Libra, like I said, check out where 5 degrees Libra is in your own chart. That house will be the theme, but also whatever house Libra rules. So that for me means, and I'm just giving you an example. So I have a 12 degree Libra rising. Okay. So 5 degrees for me is actually in my 12th house, right alongside of Jupiter and Saturn. Yay, go me. But the thing is that Libra still rules my first house. So there's going to be this really interesting dynamic over those 2 days, because remember, the full moon eclipse is happening at 5 degrees. So it's happening quite early in the sign. So we're still going to be deep in this energy with the moon still in Libra on the 26th and on the 27th. Okay. So those first few days of next week, it's this, you know, the urge to purge, like what are you laying down? What are you yourself dismantling around whatever zone and whatever theme and house that it's happening in for you? Okay, so 5 degrees Libra and the house that Libra rules. Now, look, this eclipse is, you know, it's nearly, you know, it's not completely unaspected, but there's not a whole lot going on with it. It's making a separating trine to Pluto, which just gives it the extra oomph, you know, like it's like, okay, oomph, here it is. Here this is. The power to purge. So I'm talking about the urge to purge, but then the power to purge. Like if you are wanting to eliminate some karmic conditions that you are sort of attached to, this can be a really, really good part of this eclipse journey that started last year, remember, when the nodes moved in to Aries and Libra. Yeah. And so they actually move out of Aries and Libra in January of 2025. Okay. So we're in this, we're really in this Libra Aries stuff. And this first full moon eclipse of the year is really, really offering us this space to lay it all out. What am I not willing to identify with anymore? I am just not willing to identify, you know, that's it. That's it. No more. And as hard as it is, you know, it might feel like a breakup. It might feel like a deep grief, whatever that is for you. It could be, you know, in whatever area. But what is sabotaging your soul that you need to let go of? Because you're not the victim to the circumstance, right? Like if you keep doing the same thing, then, you know, you perpetuate that same behavior. The Aries North Node is carving this new destiny for us. And it's pretty remarkable. Like it's very exciting because, you know, the North Node is obviously in Aries. And, you know, I want to say that we haven't had an Aries season with the North Node for 18 years, because last year when the North Node moved into Aries, it was an Aries season. So this is the first Aries season where the sun will illuminate the North Node, illuminate our purpose, illuminate our path, illuminate our Dharma and destiny. This didn't happen last year. We got the sun in Libra. really activating the south node. So we're going to get the sun in Libra with the south node last year, and then we'll get it this year. And we're only going to get the Aries sun, we're only going to get Aries season with the sun and the north node together once. So that gives you a great overview of really collectively what needs to happen. And what is it? It's the purge, because we're getting two solar seasons that connect to the south node, which is the past, karma, old habits. It's that old habits die hard shit, old identities, old stories, and only one with the sun illuminating the north node. And hello, we're in it. Okay. And like I said, it's not your typical Aries season, because Mars is going to move into Pisces and it's going to be very watery. It's going to be very elusive. It's going to be very disconnected. You might feel tired. You know, whilst everyone, again, banging on about Aries season, yay, you know, traction, movement, courage, all these things. It's like Mars in Pisces is asleep. God damn it. You know, it's just as bad as my Mars in Taurus. It's asleep. But this is about a spiritual journey. And it's teaching us that to move forward doesn't necessarily mean aggression. Doesn't necessarily mean you need to run headfirst at everything. This is the joy in working with Mars in Pisces during Aries season. Whilst we're having a solar eclipse in Aries, we're having Mercury retrograde in Aries, we're having, you know, the North Node in Aries, we're having Chiron in Aries, you know, like there is a lot of, you know, I can feel it. Like I don't even have the word for it. Like there's new information coming in, right? That's landing in our ethers. It's landing in our cells, and it doesn't have the words yet. And I think as Mercury retrogrades again, we're going to be really reevaluating that. Anyway, I'm going to talk more about April, in April. But I just want to prep you for this eclipse season. Obviously, that's what I'm doing. I'm, you know, again, I haven't really talked much this week, so welcome to my mind. So this full moon eclipse on the 25th, 5 degrees Libra, you know, like I said, it's making a trine to Pluto and it is making a sextile to Pallas. So again, there's some information, and use your intelligence. Okay. This is a wise full moon eclipse. And again, with this sextile to Pallas, you know, the symbology here is be smart. Yeah. Like really look at what's going on, be discerning, use your emotional intelligence and not just allow the emotions to take over. And then you're making these irrational reactive decisions, or you're, you know, projecting. You know, you've got to remember that this is the Aries and Libra archetype. So it's very easy to project your stuff, especially, you know, Libra. What is Libra ruled by? Venus. Venus is the mirror. Hello. Am I reflecting on myself and looking into my own eyes, or am I deflecting and projecting onto the other, which can be, you know, pushing over to the Aries and going, no, you. But it's like, no, hey, look at you. Yeah. So this isn't, I want to say that this isn't an like, yes, will it be emotionally charged? It's on Monday, which is ruled by the moon, and it's a full moon on steroids. Yes, full moons are always going to feel big, but this is a cerebral full moon, making aspects to other planets in yang signs. Not watery, not emotional. It's like you do not have to be run by your emotions. I mean, if you've watched What the Bleep, if you know about molecular, you know, the molecular structure of your cells, and that people are just addicted to their feelings. You know, they're addicted to those feelings. This is a great full moon to actually stay non-attached to what's going on and use your smarts. Use your wit, because we've got Libra, which is a yang air sign. It's masculine. Trine to Pluto, who is at 1 degree of Aquarius, again, yang, air. And then the sextile to Pallas. Pallas is in Sag, yang, fire. Okay, so we've got this dynamic here that's asking us to think forward, think smart, you know, project if you keep doing what you're doing now, what that's going to look like in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. So this is about the swords of smart. You know, I talk about the swords because the deacon that this eclipse is ruled by in Libra is Libra 1, and it is the two of swords. again, we're working with the air element here, the Two of Swords. The word swords has the word words. What's the message? Listen to the message. The Two of Swords, she's blindfolded. Yeah? Just like eclipses obscure. They obscure, they hide, they do reveal, but they are still obscuring something. Yeah? They eventually reveal. Yeah? So this is around opening your inner eye. You know, when you look at the Two of Swords and she's got those Two of Swords in front of her, she's blindfolded, the moon's above, the water's behind her. Interestingly enough too, you know, this deacon, Libra 1, the deacon of Libra 1, is ruled by the moon. So again, you know, we're having a full moon lunar eclipse in a moon-ruled deacon. So yeah, I do want to say that the emotions will be heightened, but that's what I'm inviting, is the art of emotional intelligence, knowing what needs to be balanced out, knowing what to fight for, what not to, what to listen to. Remember the two in general, this is the Two of Swords. The two is two people. Fairness, balance, equality, listening to someone else. Hello, Aries, Libra. Like, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's like finding that seesaw of balance with this axis. So not allowing yourself to be addicted to the drama and to the emotionals that then rule you and that you then have no control over. Because when we're out of control, we're out of control, right? And this is a really smart lunar eclipse. You know, that's what I'm sharing here. Like I said, she's not making a hell of a lot of aspects beside that, you know, that separating trine to Pluto and that sextile to Pallas. I'm just going to have a little drink. So be smart. Be smart. Use this to your own advantage. Remember, Pallas was born from her father's eye, from his mind, from his third eye, whatever you want to say, right? But she was born from him, from intelligence. This is around wisdom. Where are you being wise? Where are you not being wise? And I love the deacon, the Libra 1 deacon, you know, this Two of Swords card here. Because again, you know, the fact that swords, and we talk about words, we talk about air, the communication, the messages coming in, being blindfolded, not being able to see, being able to sort of open the inner eye, that third eye inside, and really trust in that. Again, it's like Venus turning that mirror inward, turning it inward on yourself. And because Venus obviously is the ruler of this lunar eclipse, what's she doing? So what she's doing is important. I mean, she's in Pisces, so she's in her sign of exaltation, which is beautiful. Okay, but Pisces and Libra, I mean, they're not two signs that go, yay, this is amazing. You know, like, they're signs that are called quincunx to each other. There's adjustments that need to be made here. Think about Libra. It's the scales. It's metal. It's the only inanimate object that there is. I remember when my dad told me this, and maybe I've told you this story, but I remember, you know, because obviously I've been into astrology since I was like a fetus, but I'd always talk about it. And then I must have only been, I don't know, maybe in my early 20s or something like that, or a teenager. I can't remember, but it was a long time ago. And dad was like, he's like, isn't it interesting that Libra is the only sign that's not living, that it doesn't have a heart. It doesn't live. It doesn't breathe. It's an inanimate object. And it was like, wow. And when we really look at symbolism, you know, in the archetypes, it's a real eye opener. I talk a lot about that in my Mod 1 class, which, just quick plug, you know, there's a few more days and there is $100 off my Mod 1 class. 7 weeks, 10 hours, notes, have at it. But yeah, it's a really interesting thing to be able to drop into the archetypes and look at their symbology, their glyphs and those sorts of things to really get that feel for it. So here we are with Libra, a cardinal air sign. It's intellectual, it's cerebral, you know, it is around justice and fairness. You know, and that's why that, you know, those scales, what are those scales of? Justice, you know? We look at the Egyptian mart where we're looking at the feather in the heart weighing up before you go into the underworld, weighing up all of your experiences in this lifetime. It's the judge, it's the jury, it's the prosecutor. That's Libra, right? Whereas Pisces, which is where Venus is, Libra's ruler, is in mutable water, mutable water. Pisces is mutable water, flowing, unconditionally loving. Now, I did talk a lot about Venus in Pisces last week, so you can check that one out, my potty from last week. But yeah, it's, you know, they're very different signs. And so ultimately, Venus at the time of the eclipse is separating from her conjunction to Saturn, which is actually happening now as we are, as I'm recording this. So there's something really stable around that. And again, you know, with Saturn and Venus both in Pisces, I think I spoke about this last week too. So maybe just go back and check that out. I'm just trying to remember. I never know because I'm just channeling information. I write a few notes and I just talk. But there's something really beautiful here. This spiritual maturity, this, you know, strong connection in relationships. You know, it's all that relationship stuff. But what Venus is doing is she's moving away from Saturn by the time the eclipse comes. But what she is doing is making an exact quincunx, which is what I just talked about, this adjustment where they're very different. They've got nothing in common. Libra, cardinal air. Pisces, mutable water. Okay. But she's making an exact quincunx to the south node. At the time of the Libra South Node eclipse, like, come on, that is, you know, I mean, no one's talked about that yet. I've read a lot of stuff online and I'm like, how has everyone missed that? This quincunx is really fascinating because we are having a South Node karmic lunar eclipse in Libra. 16 degrees is where the South Node and the North Node are, 16 degrees Aries and 16 degrees of Libra. And here we are with Venus at 16 degrees of Pisces making this exact quincunx and semi-sextile. So she's making uncomfortable aspects to the nodes of fate. The ruler of this lunation is very highly involved. So like I said, the moon itself, not making heaps. Like I said, she's a smart one. She's a smart, discerning lunar eclipse. But the ruler of the eclipse, Venus in Pisces, talking or having an uncomfortable confrontation with the South Node. What are you really willing to give up that you're addicted to, that you identify with? What adjustments do you have to make in your life to karmically cut those cords and look to the North Node in Aries and move forward to literally carve out a new destiny? Like I said before, if you're to project into the future, if you just keep doing what you're doing, where are you going to be in a month, 6 months, 1 year, 4 years? What's really going to change? This is quite a dynamic eclipse season. I just want to say it is quite a dynamic eclipse season and one that can really root out old systems, old ways, old karma, old identity. It can really do these things. And you know me, I don't say something if I don't experience it, feel it, embody it, you know, or know it on some cellular level. Sometimes I think I know something and it's like, where am I getting this information from? But it's just so imbued in my system, or I'm dreaming about it. I mean, honestly, I had someone message me this morning saying they dreamt that I was teaching them to walk on water. And then when I left, they couldn't do it. And I'm like, what? Now I'm Jesus? Like, what the fuck? Come on. Like, now I'm teaching people in their dreams to walk on water. Like, you know, just come on. Come on. So the thing is that I don't even know why I talked about that. I just thought it was actually really quite funny how I wove that in, you know, my Mercury and Gemini. But so what I'm saying is these adjustments that need to be made. Yes, where I was going with that is, yeah, if something's there for me, I'm going to share it. And, you know, this has me, you know, often saying things that no one says and then all of a sudden they start saying it because it's happening. You know, this is a moon Uranus thing. If you've got a moon Uranus trine or, you know, conjunction, there is a lot of future intuitive psychic hits that we get that are often, you know, 10 years before when everything's collectively ready for that to happen. So for me, this, you know, this is an important eclipse season. And it is one where if you've really done the work, you know, if you've been doing the work, that you can really anchor into this and really clear some shit. So that Venus quincunx, the south node exactly, is very fascinating to me. Like, that's where my eye went to the chart. You know, it's like, whoa, okay, the ruler making her own exact alignment, her own sacred alignment, which is a part, you know, of a yod, the finger of God. Like, she's making that alignment to show us that, hey, your values need adjusting, my friend. All of us, like, I'm talking to myself as well. Like, this is Venus. Remember, she is our values. And that's why, to be honest, I am excited about Mars being in Pisces for this Aries season. And whilst, yes, it's not this great forward, you know, momentum, fire, fucking, you know, rebirth that we, you know, all usually anticipate at the beginning of the astrological new year and in Aries season. I mean, we've still got that beautiful dynamic of course, the sun in Aries, where the sun is exalted. We've got Chiron in the north node there. You know, so there's some beautiful, optimistic, forward thinking, forward moving energy. It's just with Mars in Pisces, there's something that's going on behind the scenes. And I think it's important for you to, you know, pay attention to that. Again, sometimes moving slower and being more spiritually fulfilled and tuning in psychically to what's going on with the steps that you're taking forward means more than just, you know, Aries, head in, you know, just jumping in without even checking the water. You know, it this can be a really beautiful time. Like, it can be a very contemplative time. It can be a very creative time. It can be a time where you want to, you know, nourish your connection with Mother Nature. And again, if you're feeling tired, Mars in Pisces has your body. Hello, Mars rules the physical body, feeling extra sensitive. It's extra sensitive to anything that you're taking, ingesting, the people that you're around. Remember, Mars only moves into Pisces every 2 years. So we really want to pay attention to this transit. And remember that he is actually ruling Aries season. So yeah, like I said, you know, I'm really enthralled by this eclipse season. And I hope that, you know, today, while I'm in your ears, I've given you some things to think about and some things to really make adjustments to in your life, because this Venus quincunx, the south node, is to me the highlight of this eclipse that we're having on Monday. Yeah, it's the highlight because of its exact exact quincunx. And when we're looking at our values moving forward, again, Venus is in Pisces, isn't she? She's also, you know, just moving off that conjunction with Saturn. This is around getting really honest with yourself and being really real about where are you escaping reality or escaping responsibility or wearing the rose-colored glasses and not really owning what's going on. And there's another way. That's just what I feel with this. Like, there's another way. So those adjustments, which is like the key word for a quincunx, right? So you'll always hear us say that. And I think it is, it's just the best word, because when you think about two signs that have nothing in common, and the signs that we're talking about now is Libra, cardinal air, and Pisces, mutable water, what it feels askew, you know? So there has to be an adjustment. And so this adjustment to your values or pleasures or leisure or, you know, wherever all of this is happening for you in your own micro chart, which is, you know, really the macro chart, because when you master your chart, you master life. You know, this is going to give you some really huge clues. And so pay attention. You know, we're kicking off the week, Monday the 25th, boom, eclipse sandwich. We are on. It's on like Donkey Kong, baby. And then we've got 2 weeks in a waning eclipse portal, you know, and that waning eclipse portal, within that time, Mercury stations retrograde in Aries, and Mercury's already been hanging out with the North Node, So again, we're getting messages, hanging out with Chiron. Again, wounds are being triggered. You know, this is, you know, Chiron is the shaman. He is the alchemist. So there are some really big storylines playing out. And like I said, if you haven't checked out my most recent post, that's on my Instagram. And, you know, I do talk a little bit about this stuff as well, but I really want to prep you for, I hope that this has prepped you for eclipse season, this eclipse sandwich, that Deacon one of the Two of Swords is just so perfect for what's actually happening here. And I just want to lastly, before I leave, read you the symbol, which again, mind blown, for this full moon eclipse, which is 5 degrees Libra. A baby with two sets of teeth. We're back to the two. Okay. Remember that this is the Two of Swords. I've talked about two. It's balance. It's harmony. It's equality. We're Libra here. That's what Libra is all about, right? So, you know, the fact that the first line is a baby with two sets of teeth, I'm like, come on. Two lives lived in one, the outer life and the inner life. Both approached oblivious to the other. The outer life is doing the right thing for others in extreme selfishness. The inner life, sorry, selflessness. So yeah, let me just reread that. The outer life of doing the right thing for others in extreme selflessness. The inner life, rich with intricate and subtle realms to explore. No crossover. Two worlds held apart so that service can be pure and the inner search can be pursued from inward ways. Dreams, futures, subtle realms are always there. Yet the expression is simply whatever gives the most. And so the angels can weave beautifully through both sides and know them as one. Again, like it really is just depicting that inner, outer, the balance, the lady with the two swords, blindfolded. There's two ways. This can be a time of compromise, of consecration, of consummation. This can be a time of listening to the other or speaking up, whatever needs to happen for you in your relationship. Again, it's this again, inner and outer, closing down the eyes that look to the outside world and opening the inner eye. And just reiterating how intelligent I think this lunar eclipse is, very cerebral, using wisdom to embark on a new journey, being decisive and wise around what does need to be cut away. Hello, Mars. Mars rules Aries. Mars is cutting. Mars is going to be in Pisces, right at the beginning of Pisces, right? So again, what etheric and energetic karmic cords are you cutting? Again, this could be addiction, escapism, anything to do with Pisces. Yeah? So travel super gently. Travel super gently, super aware, be totally switched on. Like, wakey, wakey, my friends. Wakey, wakey. This is a big, bold eclipse sandwich that we're about to embark on together. We're going to ride this wave together and I will come back next week and check on you, darlings. I promise. I'm also lining up some guests. Yes, I am. Are you excited about that? So yes, I have. I'm going to be recording a podcast next week that has nothing to do really with, it's got to do with astrology a little bit, but it's all based on, you know, something that I shared, and I'm going to be talking to a beautiful person about this topic. I've got another couple of guests lined up over the next few months. And because, like I've shared, you know, yes, my podcast is going to go through a bit of a reiteration, a bit of a, you know, rebrand on some level, over the next few months. At this point, it just is what it is. I'm, you know, again, getting new software and yada, yada. I'm moving into a different space with it. But I will be recording these, interviews that I do. So I will be able to put the audio straight in here for you, and then you can pop over to YouTube to watch them as well. So they're all going to be able to be watched, and eventually even just my ones will be able to be watched as well. I'm just moving into that. I'm transitioning. So it might still be a few months, but at this point I'm calling on some really cool, rad people to do interviews with. And whether that means that just becomes the, I'm still deciding how I want to go with this. So if you you know, want to email me and you've got any suggestions on either topics or things that you would like me to talk about with other guests, that's cool. If you're like, yeah, do guests, but don't not do these, you know, if you still are just like, no, every week, I just want this. I need this every week, or not need it, because you don't need me. You don't need my podcast. You do not need me. I appreciate all the love that I get, but you definitely don't need me. So ultimately, if I then go on to structure that, you get this little weekly update that's just from me, like I've been doing for so long. I mean, God, I've had this podcast for a few years now, but I remember like the first year I didn't even friggin' do anything. I don't think it was crazy. I did like two or something. But yeah, I've been consistently pretty much recording every week now for a while. So there's a lot there, but also, you know, I want to bring in these interviews that aren't just like in the moment, but also, you know, you can listen to it anytime. So maybe they're, you know, once a month, I just chuck one in there. So you're still getting your weekly and you're getting that sort of bonus extra one once a month or something. Yeah, I feel like that feels good. I mean, I just like worked that out myself then. I just needed to talk it out. But if you've got any ideas or suggestions or anything at all, please feel free to email me. I love you all so much. Happy eclipse season. Journey well, darlings. Journey well. We're all in this together. Holding you from afar, and our hearts are one, and let's do this, baby.